Good afternoon. Good to have you with us as we continue in our afternoon series. As many of you know, we're working our way through the longest of the Psalms, Psalm 119. We're calling the series Worshiping and Walking in God's Word. As David, who I believe authored the Psalm, there are other possibilities people think about Psalm 119. But he's led by the Spirit to divide up the 176 verses of this massive Psalm, following the model of the acrostic, what we know as the acrostic in Hebrew, a teaching tool. And Psalm 119's acrostic is the longest of the acrostics, covering every letter of the Hebrew alphabet, from Aleph to Zed, and with 8 verses in every section, handy for a preaching series. So this psalm is focused on the beauty of God's Word we're seeing, and the great value that the Word of God has in the believer's faith and life and relationship with God, and then the impact that it has in changing our lives once we come to know Christ. And David uses a variety of terms for God's word or God's law in this psalm. The Torah, obviously, is the main one, talking of God's moral law, but a lot of other terms for God's word that we see in this psalm. Now, David himself knew he was saved by God's grace, and that if he had any hope, we've seen this already, he knew that if he had any hope of knowing and understanding God's word and the deep realities of God's law, much less living it out in real life, he was, as we are as Christians, totally dependent on God to do so. So we're saved by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ, but the Spirit then lives in the Christian as we walk with God, as he opens the meaning and the wisdom of God's word, as we're transformed by the renewal of our thinking, which then affects our emotions, our feelings, and then our lives, our conduct. So as we're seeing throughout this, I've said a few times, we grow to learn God's word and law, and love the law, and then live out God's word and his statutes and his ways and precepts more and more and more as we grow in faith, as we get into God's word. So David in this psalm is looking at the glory, the beauty of God's word in all kinds of angles and different perspectives within each of these sections of 8 verses each. And each section has a focus and builds, I believe, in some respect, on the others. We're seeing that already, though there's certainly some overlap. There's some repetition, but that can be very effective. So the acrostic method here helps make this clear and show the focus of each section. We've seen section 1 quickly to review. Aleph, that first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, it focused on the pathway of God's word that we're called to walk in and love. Section 2, the second letter of Hebrew, Beit, focused on the power of God's word to change us inwardly so that we won't sin against God. Section 3, Gimel, that third letter of Hebrew, dealt with the outward actions of persecution and how the believer, through God's word, can handle that. Section 4, Daleth, we saw a few weeks ago, is the personal discouragement that comes from outward persecution and trials and just general discouragement. Section 5, we saw last Sunday, He, that fifth letter in Hebrew, that fifth section, dealt with the development and the growth God's word brings in a believer's life over the long run. That having been revived by God's word, that's section 4, that we saw there with Dalit, the psalmist then knew he needs God through his word, we saw last Sunday, to keep him going and growing in the truth so that he can persevere, so that he can go the distance, so that he can keep growing. And so he ended there in verse 39 and 40 with that focus on running the course. Running in God's laws, running in his commandments, that God, as he grows in it, he'll persevere and walk in that way, continuing in God's word. So verse 41 to 48 that we read today marks off, of course, a new section, Psalm 119, categorized by this sixth letter, Vav, in the sixth letter in Hebrew, and it's really like an and, if you will, this sixth letter. Because that's kind of what he does here. He ties this all together, and we'd say in English, and this is true, and now this is true because of that, Or we'd say, so, because this happened, so this happened, so this happened. And many commentators point out in this section, there is a clear connection that David is making here using this letter in Hebrew. So like we might say, this is true, so this is true. Or this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. And you could see that in Hebrew, if you could break it down there, you can see the connection to the section prior to this letter. As it seems that his faith is still growing, right? As he's in God's Word, his confidence is growing in God's Word. And you can see how he is also still dealing, as he has in the earlier sections, with the reality of outward trials and outward persecution for his commitment to God's law and God's values. And he's still feeling a little bit, at least, of discouragement inwardly, like we saw a few weeks ago. But now you can see he's starting to grow in a confidence in God's truth and what God's Word is doing in his life and inside of his heart and his mind. Now he's facing the outward battle still, yes, but the focus becomes more not just how I feel better about those outward battles, how I avoid them, or how I'm revived out of discouragement, but now as God's Word is working in him and through him, he's asked the Lord to strengthen him in God's Word so that he can persevere in that course God has for him, running in his commandments. He's seeking God now to stay with him and to give him the answers that he needs in this life to be able to speak those, to be able to answer others as he deals with attackers, as he deals with mockers, as he deals with people who have questions about the Christian life and who put us down because of what we believe about God's Word. So he's moving, he's going in strength and confidence through the Word of God, teaching him, and this is what ought to happen to us so that we're ready to give an answer. So that we're able to reach out, we're able to minister, we're able to deal, even when it's hard, even when we deal with people who are hard to deal with in our job, in our families as Christians, people around us who have questions, God's Word encourages us. God's Word strengthens us and changes us and gives us answers. Now God's Word that's inside the psalmist's heart, that is guiding his steps, he believes will continue to lead him so that he lives a life faithfully growing in love for God. Love's a major part of this section. We'll see that. And growing in a love for others. He's growing to love God's truth, and he knows God's love in the truth, and that's going to affect the way he looks at others. That he will be willing to reach out to others. He'll be motivated, and he'll be able to live out a Christian life, or life of a believer, to be able to answer others. So now God's Word, he's praying, will stay in his heart. You notice that? Stay in his mouth, that it will be seen in his life, because he is concerned that the questions these people have, even as they mock him, that they might be answered through his life and through his lips and through his testimony based on God's Word. He wants to be able to give an answer. He doesn't want his life to misrepresent what God says, for one thing, in the Word of God, or who God is. He believes God's Word, did you notice, in his mouth shows that God's Word is indeed in his heart and in his life. So in this section, David, he wants what he says to line up with a life more and more based in God's truth, that it will truly answer through his lips and his life those that are bringing question on his life. Those that are asking, why do you do this? Why do you follow this God? Why are you religious? Why do you go to church? Why do you live the way you do and give of your life? This section is about the growth, I believe, God's Word brings in a believer's life, in our love for the Lord, that then affects our love for others, including those who question us. This section is about God's Word deepening our love for the Lord as we experience his covenant love for us in his Word. What is that Hebrew word, hesed? His hesed love, God's steadfast love. We experience that love through the Word of God. So this section is about not just being battle-hardened. I know there's a part of what we have to do as a Christian. We grow to be battle-hardened in a way. That is somewhat of what we do. The Word of God becomes an armor, right? So we can endure, so we can stand, so we can persevere, and we can deal with people who make life difficult, yes. But he doesn't just want to be battle-hardened. David seems to want to know the love of God and the truth of God deeply, so he'll walk in that truth in love consistently and be able to love others, be able to give an answer for them, to be broken, not just battle-hardened, but broken in a love for God, that God loves us and that we love those that are around us, and we're motivated to give an answer to those that even question us. So God's truth deals with our sin within and our discouragement from without in trials, in attacks, in discouragement. God's Word grows us so that we'll run the distance, as he said in the earlier section, and run the course all the way home to heaven. Yes, that's true. But God's Word is also about his deep love in his Word and truth that changes us more and more and gives us a depth of love for God now and causes us to think about the opportunities along the way to be present, to be impactful for Christ, and to share the Word of God. So this section, that sixth section, talks about love over and over, if you've noticed, quite a few times, knowing that steadfast love of God. He wants to know God's love that'll be an answer to those who question him. Only God's love gives us that desire through his Word to be able, be motivated, and to be able then to have the answer to give. Only God's love gives us that desire, that motivation, and also the means to share the answer. So the Word is not meant just to make us battle-hardened, but to be broken ones who know the love of God and want others to know that love more and more. Is that happening to you as a Christian through your growth in God's Word? Reminds me of the diamond merchant who had this particular diamond that was very expensive, and he wanted to sell this diamond. And so he called in this story, I don't know if it's true or not, but supposed expert of diamonds, right? And he brought the expert in, and he was going to be able to sell this expensive diamond for the merchant. So he went through this great sales pitch, telling all of the things about this great diamond, right? But he got nowhere with this guy to get him to buy it. And finally, the merchant took the diamond in his hand himself, and with a passion and a love of this particular diamond, he shared, not with some great detail or perfect speech, but he shared about that diamond. And this, it was a family heirloom, I think, in the story. And that guy wanted to buy it. And when the guy left with the diamond, the expert looked at the owner, the merchant, and he said, "Now, how did you do that?" He said, "Well, I think it might be because you know diamonds, but I love them. You know them, but I love them." Are we growing to love God through his Word, to love his truth, to grow, to know his steadfast love in his Word that he puts in our heart as we read it, as we meditate on it, as David's been talking about, as God opens its meaning to us, as David has been praying for? This is what we're called to do, and the only way we'll truly have an impact and be ready to answer those, even those that are hard to deal with. Aiken said, "This section is a prayer for help in this and also a pledge of fidelity to do it at the end." So God's Word, loved and applied, enables us to answer critics and doubters more and more, those who taunt us even sometimes and mock us. It could be a family member, it could be a co-worker, or somebody in the neighborhood, wherever it is. But God works through his truth, changing us, deepening us in his love, so that we can rightly use his Word to define our faith. Number one, it will define it for us. It'll clarify it. And number two, that's what we believe. And number two, it will help us then to defend our faith. But it's got to be defined more and more. You know, 1 Peter 3:15, you know, we read that earlier, but it picks this idea up. "But in your hearts, regard Christ as holy, and be ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason, for the hope that you have in you as a Christian." So we're talking about people again here in the application here who will question our motives as Christians, who will doubt our values, that God's values. "Why are you Christians?" they'll ask. People at work that will mock us. People who will let us know about what they think often. maybe family members. It could be people who think we've gone off the religious diving board, you know, in our faith, in the religious deep end. What are you doing going crazy about this? You know, why would you possibly want to go and, you know, go to seminary? As a few people said to me many years ago, all you've done is study to do what you're going to do, and now you're going to go off to Bible school. Why would you do this? You know, we know, but we deal with all kinds of this stuff. How do we move from taunts that we will face to loving testimony from the Word of God and by the Word of God? What will help us? What do we see in this section about being ready to share? Someone said the psalmist is in danger of being ashamed of his faith. He's struggling with the rejection he might receive when he stands up for the Word of God. So he turns to God in this section in prayer to help him. So we're going to see some applications here as we look at this. Listen out. Look out. You see them on your outline. Let out. Live out. And love out based on God's Word. So let's look at these. First of all, listen out. And this is listening for the Lord. This is the first kind of practical principle we see here about seeking God, about worshiping God. We've seen this in a way in the psalm already, but we see it at a different angle here. That we, verse 41 is where it is. We see God speaking to us through His Word. That we, if we're going to grow to be able to be ready to share, we've got to listen out for the Lord in the Word, for His love, for His truth in His Word. The first principle about preparation to give an answer for those around us that flows from growing in God's love based in God's Word is here in verse 41. Here we see the need to listen out for God, to seek to know more, and get this, more in the Word of God of the unfailing love of God that never changes. Do you see this? Warren Wiersbe said about this, God does this as we read, of course, and we meditate on God's Word. And of course, that's true. See, David has been emphasizing this throughout Psalm 119 in a sense. But here, actually for the first time in this psalm, he focuses for the first time, where he actually uses the word here of love, about the steadfast love of God. In this section, how we know the steadfast love of God, God's hesed love, is unending faithfulness in the Word of God. It's through God's Word, remember, that as we listen, as we seek the Lord, that He speaks to us in His love and His mercies through the gospel, so that we will know His gracious heart more and more. God does this all through the promises, right, of the Old Testament that we know were fulfilled in the New Testament, but even through the warnings of God's Word. As we listen to the Lord, He is speaking to us of His love, of His covenant faithfulness to as believers, even in the warnings. God shows His compassion and all of His truth, His steadfast love to His people, those in Christ, which comes to fulfillment in Jesus Christ. As Paul tells us, all of God's promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:20. So He says, notice what He says, this is according to God's Word. According to the promise God has already made to His true people. Someone said, when we need God's help, we can be sure of His answer because He has promised to be our God and to help us in the Word of God. That promise, this man said, is sealed in His Son. In the gospel, in the Word of God. Ash said, God's covenant of grace is His promise to all who belong to Him, that He will be our God and we will be His people. Warren Wiersbe said, the Word declares Jesus is the only Savior and we can trust Him. So God speaks to us in His Word as we do what this psalm has been telling us to do. Remember, we read it, we reflect on it daily, we meditate on it. We ask God to open it up to us, show us the meaning of it. We seek God to lead us in it through prayer. As we seek the Lord, we need to be listening to know His heart of love. God speaking to us of His covenant love and His promises in Jesus Christ. We read about that in 2 Peter 1 a moment ago. That in Christ we've been given precious promises. All we need for godliness and life in godliness. So David says in verse 41, if you look there, As I meditate on your truths, Lord, let your mercies come to me. Me personally, your mercies and your truth of your covenant love, help me to know your kind of love, God, in your word, your covenant love in Jesus Christ, we would say as Christians. Let your mercies come to me also, Lord, your salvation according to your word. See, the Old Testament word again is hesed here. It's God's covenant kindness, his steadfast love. David says, Lord, let me know your mercies, yet covenant love, as I study your word more and more, as I understand the meaning of it, may I know your love, your unchanging kindness that's at the heart of your truth. David knew, you see, and I believe that we have to remember this, right? He knew only this love in God changes our hearts, right? Only this changes our lives. Only God's love and his truth would give him and us the power to continue to love others when it is particularly hard to love those who would question us, to love those who would attack us. That's what he's saying in context here. Only this love, as he experienced it, would enable him to be an answer of Christ in him and ultimately to give the answer of who God is. Only growing in that love through his word. Do you want to be ready to be the answer, to share that answer, and to give that answer to others? Yes, we need apologetics. Do not get me wrong. It's key, and things, you know, like we're learning, for example, in the Truth Project and others are essential to defend the faith. But we do have to start here. We need to know God's covenant love through his word, his merciful character, experienced in his salvation, known by us, experienced by us. Because the danger can always be, if we're not growing in that, then we can give answers, but we can give them very coldly, right? We can even become callous sometimes as Christians. They might be right answers, but they won't have an impact as an answer. David said these mercies he seeks God to come upon him personally. They are, did you notice, God's salvation. They are not just nice requests David makes. These are the promises of God he's calling God to carry out. They are the mercies, Lord, I need to experience, he says. Your salvation, your covenant kindness, based on your covenant promises according to your word. Let me experience them. Let me know those salvations and mercies in what I'm facing right now, that I might express what they really mean. Be able to answer others as they see you work in my life. And see the ultimate, see the salvation you're giving me now and what you're doing to help me, but ultimately to see the ultimate salvation you give, we know, that's in Christ. Achan said he asked God's faithful love, steadfast love, would come. God's salvation would come for him. That what God promised, he wants to experience more of it right there in the present. That's the way we ought to live. We need God's love and his word every day. Actually, the word mercies here, it's in the plural. That I'll know your mercies. Borgman said, the mercies that are new every morning must come to us again and again. God never asks us to live on yesterday's manna, right? He will keep feeding us. He doesn't ask us to live off what he gave us yesterday. He'll keep feeding us with his mercies, more of his mercies, more of his covenant love in Jesus Christ. So someone said he doesn't need to get converted all over again, of course. But he and we need the saving grace and mercy of God to come to us, to continually save us from the power of sin. That's the only way God will use us. As we deal with problems, as we seek to be an answer to those around us that need God's grace. So he prays for more than a subjective feeling of comfort, but a rescue from God that he can answer those who hurt him and taunt him. That leads us to number two here, and that's look out for others. And we stand, right? Verse 42, the enemy here we see will be speaking. Enemy, I mean, of course, the devil with temptation, but especially those that are trying to hurt us and questioning us, those that we might say are enemies, we have to look out. The second principle about preparation to give an answer for those around us that flows from growing in God's love and God's word is there in verse 42. And we see, remember, we listen out for God, seeking his mercies and his word, to know his great love that alone will change us and use us. But in this, we're enabled then to look out
for those who would reproach us, those who are questioning us, that we will be able to give an answer to their questions, right? That's what he says. Verse 42 gives the reason for the request in verse 41. Then I can answer those who taunt me. Then I'll be able to stand up to the mockery. Then I'll be able to handle it the right way. Cynics and mockers and scoffers and people making fun of David, or as they do that with Christians today. So the psalmist has prayed for God to let his mercies, as he prays, let those mercies come to me, Lord, according to your promises, daily mercies. Now he believes that through seeking God to know his love in the word, he'll be able to look out and then stand out and stand up for God to be able to have the answer. And what does he say? Because I trust in your word. I trust in God's word. So we listen out for God and we look out for others so that knowing God's love in the word, we'll be able to then answer those through our lives. That we'll talk about that later, living in godliness, in the truth, and then through our lips. We'll be able to do both of those. And we'll be able to be a witness. We'll be able to have an answer so that we know what we believe, again, defining our faith and why we believe it, defending our faith in love, and then being able to demonstrate in how we live out our faith in the truth of God and to be an answer in both our lives and our lips. It's obvious David, again, is dealing with detractors throughout this early part of Psalm 119. People who had slandered him. And he's leaning on God's word to deal with it. He's dealing with people who are lying about him, putting him down. It may be that this is what he's dealing with here too. It seems to be connected. But either way, he needs God's answer in this situation in the sense of delivering him and in this moment showing up for David, because that would answer these detractors overall in the context here, those that are doubting what David believes. If God will show up and help him in this, he believes God, he'll be able to be used by God to give an answer. Today it might sound like this, right? Well, you know, why would you have that Christian business? It's not going to make it in a world like this. Somebody would say, that's just a dumb idea, you know. Or somebody would say, oh, you're a fool. How can you trust a God that you don't see? You go to church. Why would you spend your time doing that? Shouldn't you think more through about your life, you know, Christian? Maybe they're not quite this overt about it and direct. But they say, well, you know, you trust in the Lord. You're one of those Christians. Well, what is that going to really lead to? Well, it doesn't really look like God's helping you that much right now. Where is he right now in your life? In your family? With the mess you're in? With the problems you're in? Why would you spend your time giving, again, helping, doing these things? You know, you can think about a lot of examples of this. But I was thinking in the Bible about Noah especially. He was a herald of righteousness, the Bible says, and he had people, you know, doubting him left and right every day about why he was doing what God called him to do, which was to build the ark, mocking Noah, ridiculing his day-to-day efforts for the Lord. But you know what? He heard from God, didn't he? He was able to answer them with his life, but then also, in a sense, with his lips, I'm sure. But God, you know, he's called me, Noah must have known, right? God has called me to do this, to build the ark, and he's given me the plan, he's given me his word, and I'm going to trust him. And eventually, what happened? The final full answer came in that time when the water started to pour down, didn't it? So, he heard from God, but he knew God would give the answer, and then the flood came. The reality is, the only final answer will come for us when the final rains come and Jesus Christ returns. God will give us little answers along the way, right? We've got to trust him, but we'll see. He'll give us little deliverances God will use as he works in our life. But ultimately, for those that reject Jesus Christ, they will see that you know, God has delivered us fully in the end when Jesus returns. God will answer that Christians were right to trust him, to live by his word. We have to trust the Lord in that. But God will give little answers now, ways he works in our lives, I believe, to use us, to protect us, to show that he is real, that are a part of the big answer, the ultimate salvation that is in Jesus Christ, and the ultimate answer that he will bring when Jesus Christ returns. It's often those little quote-unquote deliverances in our lives that God will use so that we grow And then we have opportunity to share the hope, the answer of Christ within us. Little answers like God answering our prayers or showing us His character through us to other people's lives. Building our strength in the trial so that we know His love, so that we're confident to live it out and then to share it. William said, as we know God's promises, we can pray and believe in boldness. The Word becomes a weapon in our warfare. And that can be when we share God's Word with other Christians or non-Christians or those questioning us. It can be as we pray based on those situations, based on the Word of God. But the Word becomes a weapon in our warfare as we know the Word of God. The answer is not only in the deliverance that God brings in our life as He helps us and defines, helps us to know who we are, the defining of who we are. The answer also is in this, in the understanding that is developed in us to be able to give an answer. The wisdom God is growing in us in His Word. As we grow to know God's love, we grow to know and love His ways and love them, delight in them, as the psalmist says, and then be able to give an answer based on them and share them. Wiersbe said, our main weapon against these attacks is the sword of the Spirit. Is the Word becoming like a sword? Not that we jab people with, but that we're able to give an answer, be able to use it in the right way. Only God's truth can silence the devil's lies. We need His truth in our hearts to keep us from sin, but also to equip us to answer those who would oppose us, who question why we believe. Achan said, David knows that the foundation of his apologetic, his defense, is only the Word of God. He trusts in it. He knows he has no hope, no apologetic, no defense, an answer, apart from God's truth. And we don't either. And so that's why he prays here, did you notice, that the Lord will not leave him without His Word, we're going to see in a moment, when He speaks. God's truth alone silences the lies of the enemy, the attacks of His followers, and we know that the wisdom of the world is always opposed to God's wisdom. We have to know God's wisdom. That leads me to number three, and that's to let it out. Let out, speak out, verse 43. And really in this we speak to the Lord, but we also speak about the Lord. That's kind of running through the whole psalm. But the third principle about preparation to give an answer for those around us based on God's love and God's Word is here in 43. We listen out for God speaking to us. We look out for what attackers are saying to give an answer. The Lord speaks to us in His covenant love that we might then speak to others. But third, we let out our speech to the Lord. We meditate and we pray out loud and we speak to God so we can speak for God. Again, Wiersbe said, we can send telegraph prayers in the midst of the battles when we have pondered, that's key, when we have pondered the Scriptures. What this psalm's been telling us. When we know the Word of God and really know it, it's on our heart, we meditate on it, then we can pray those prayers in the middle of the battles. This is part of what David is saying, what he's praying for in verse 43, if you look there, that God would not take His Word out of His mouth. We're going to talk about that. I believe this is because of a couple of main reasons here. Number one, the Word of God that has affected him is then spoken by David to God and others, which reveals that the Word of God is really true in his life. That's one of the reasons I think that he's saying, don't take it out of my mouth, because it shows it's in my heart. It's real in my life. He's thinking about the Word. He's meditating on it. He's talking to God about it. And then he'll be able to share with others. But as Ash says, as long as God's Word is in the mouth, it's in David's heart, and for us too. So long as he continues to speak it and read about it and proclaim it with people, it's going to show it's in his heart. He's walking in the ways of God. Number two main reason, I think, here. He says, not let the Word of God out of my mouth. Don't let it go from my mouth. Number two, the Word of God is the only way that we answer, again, the questions of the lost and the critics, people around us. Achan says he knows that he is no apologetic except by the Word of God. He's praying, Lord, do not withhold the Word of truth when I speak. When I speak, may it be in my heart. May you not let it leave me, that what I say will be based on your Word. That's the only way there'll be a right answer. An impactful answer for God.
So he's saying, don't deprive me of a truthful testimony. Give me the word and the power of your word working through me, David says, to speak that word right, accurately. Preachers ought to pray that, but we all ought to pray when we have those opportunities that God will do that for each of us. The reason is that I wait for your judgments. Did you see that? I'm waiting for you. See the connection there? Don't let it go out of my mouth, because I wait for your judgments. I'm going to wait on you, Lord, to bring your outcome. I'm not going to do it my own way. I want your word to be spoken through me, and I'm going to wait on you to do what you're going to do to decide the outcome. Borgman said he is praying for God's intervention in what he's facing and his witness in that, in the middle of it. In other words, he must speak to answer others, but when he does, he knows he must be doing it from a heart that knows the word of God and lives it out more and more, and then shares based on that. So he's confessing. He says his only hope is in the word of God. I hope in your judgments. I wait on your judgments. And by the way, we should know this, right? But just to say that, you know, when the enemy confronts us and tempts us, right, with lies and attacks us, and when we're dealing with other people that have questions and we want to speak for God, the Lord is not going to give us his word as a defense if we don't know his word. The Holy Spirit will remind us more and more of what we meditated on, of what has become real to us, like he said in the psalm earlier, that's gone into our heart, that's there in our life. He will bring that to our minds if we've learned it. That's why we get into God's word, don't we? Number four thing is live it out in life. Stay focused, 44 to 45. Our lives speak for the Lord here. The fourth principle of preparation to give an answer in God's love and God's truth in 44 to 45. We listen, we look out, we let out God's word. We don't want it away from our mouths. We want it coming from our hearts. And now he knows he needs God's truth in his life to stay focused and to live out the truth, right? To be faithful. Borgman said he is praying for his own obedience to deepen in his waiting on the Lord and as he seeks to witness for the Lord. So David recalls his life impacted by God's word as at the heart of the answer that he'll give to these detractors. Someone said the best defense and apologetic often in our Christian life, and it's at the heart of it, right? It's God changing our lives. It's his truth impacting the way we live and having compassion for those that even are hard to deal with. That's often the best apologetic. It's at the heart of it, right? A transformed life. It's this change through God's word and his covenant love and his word that will speak the truth and give answer, as we also share in the right timing of the truth of who God is. Aiken said our daily obedience and surrender to Jesus powerfully shows the reality of our faith to other people around us. So our lives speak for God when our walk, one man said, agrees with our talk more and more. And we know that's true, but it's often hard to see it happen at times, right? But we want those questioning us to see. Did you notice what he says here? I'll walk in the freedom of your precepts. We want those questioning us to see that freedom that is coming in God's truth, the joy, the love that's in our relationship with God and his truth, of his love. As we walk in liberty, there's a difference in our life more and more. We're not perfect, of course, but we're seeking his precepts and we're walking that freedom in a wide open space. It means God's word enables us to do this, to have that inward joy and freedom that'll be seen outwardly. And God will use that often to work in people's lives around us, even those that are hard to deal with, even those that have questions and wonder about the Christian life. And if certainly they need to hear the gospel, they need to hear the truth. Don't misunderstand me. But they often have to see it first. But as someone said, when there's no pressure, when our Christian service comes at little cost, this man said, it doesn't grow as much. But when we're often under that pressure, it will grow. Remember, David is dealing with pressure. But even under the pressure, right, God's giving him a freedom and a joy in knowing God's love that's going to be used to answer those that are hurt, that are attacking him, that have questions. Number five, as we close, we've got to love out. We've got to share. Look at 46 to 48. We won't spend a lot of time there, but we speak to others
for the Lord. The final principle of preparation here in God's love and truth is to speak to others in the Lord, to share the word. We listen, we look out, we let out, we live out God's word. But as the section closes, this psalmist, David, I believe, continues to picture the commitment he has to give an answer to the opponents. Did you notice throughout he's got the resolve, right? Now that he's thought about this, he's in God's word. I will do this. I will do this. Of course, it's only by God's power, right? But he has this resolve. He wants there to be an answer through the word of God for those that question things. What we see, though, running throughout these verses, right, is the delight he has for God's word. The love that he has for the truth and for the Lord. Someone said we might not open our mouths often at times because we don't know the love of God the way we need to. We need to grow in that. And that can be true, right? We need to grow in God's love. David has a delight and a love for the word. And so he gives these declarations that are flowing out of the love he has for God in the word of God. He says, I will not be ashamed because of this, because I know your testimonies. I know your truth. I will share your testimonies, he says. What does he say? Even before the most powerful, he'd do it. Even before kings. He says, I'll delight myself in your commandments. He knows the joy there is in the Lord. Inwardly, he delights in them, but outwardly, he shows this in worship. He lifts up his hands, right? He wants to know more. That's symbolic of worship. I want to know more of your commands. He delights in them, and he loves them, and he expresses it in worship, and he wants to know more of God's truth. That's the person God will use, the Christian, to make an impact, to bring an answer, with a deep love for God and His Word. He knows he has a responsibility to share the Word, to share that love. Someone says, whatever goes the deepest in our hearts, meaning the Word of God, right, it will go the widest into the world. Whatever goes the deepest, remember, always goes the widest. So our boldness to answer, to witness, it flows from this being deeply delighted in God's truth, moving from our head to our heart, as we've seen in the psalm, moving to then our mouth, even to our hands, how we worship, how we live. You see that love of God that he says, I want to come on me in verse 41. It changes us. Spurgeon said there are three sorts of blasphemies. We'll close with this. He said there's three sorts of blasphemies of the godly. We're talking about attacks, right? We're talking about questions. He said there are three. The devils, the heretics, and the slanderers. He said the devil must be answered by the internal word of humility in God's word. We know God reminds him of that. The heretic by the external word of wisdom. And slanderers answered by the active word of a good life. May we close with that and remember, as we want God's word to work in us, we want him to use us for us to be an answer to those that need Jesus Christ, that need God's truth, that are there around us. And may God continue to bless us in that as we serve. Let's turn to him now in prayer. Gracious Lord, we come before you. We thank you for your word that's a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. We thank you for this Psalm 119 that deepens us in our walk with you and our worship of you and even our witness for you, as we see in this text today. Lord, continue to work in us, Lord, that people will see the difference in us. They will see, Lord, the answer is not in us, but it's in you. It's in Jesus Christ. But Lord, that we'll be a part of that answer as you work in us through your word and change us. And Lord, you'll give us opportunity, and we'll have courage and strength and motivation to share the truth, to share about Jesus, to share the wisdom of the word that points people to you. And Lord, you'll help us to do it in love and meekness, as 1 Peter 3 says, with a good conscience. Be ready to share and able, Lord, to give a reason for the hope we have that's in Jesus Christ, that's eternal. And we pray all these things in the mighty and the powerful name of our Savior and Lord. Amen.